Thanks, Ian. Thanks, Jane. Well, good morning, everyone. I'll try that again. Good morning, everyone. Hey, excellent. It's great to see you this morning and welcome. My name's Greg and I'm part of the ministry team here. And if you're visiting with us this morning, a very special welcome to you and to those of you to whom it is appropriate. Happy Mother's Day and Grandmother's Day and all that goes with that. Are you feeling adventurous? I hope so. Oh boy, I hope so. Because every now and then I sort of like to gamble with a sermon, and I thought this weekend might be one of these weekends that I like to gamble a little bit. Not literally, just with the sermon. And one of the issues is going to be that I'm going to reveal a little bit of my character, something that is close to me, something that I enjoy. And I need you to be delicate with me with it, okay? The other thing is, because what I want to try and do is to introduce into the sermon today a little bit of sci-fi pop culture. Who's into sci-fi pop culture? Okay, there are four of us in the room. Okay, for the rest of you. So basically what it is that I want to actually show you in a moment a clip of let me just be out there. I actually like Doctor Who. Not the old stuff, sorry. That started before I was born. And to be honest, a Dalek in the old stuff really does look like an upside down garbage bin. I'm talking about the newer stuff, the stuff that's on ABC2 at the moment. I'm a bit of a Doctor Who fan. I enjoy watching it. My boys and I enjoy watching it, and I think Karen puts up with it. One of the things that's interesting when you watch some of the later Doctor Who stuff, and this is where the sci-fi pop culture part comes in, is there's a lot of narrative in Doctor Who, especially in some of the later stuff. There are some very obvious biblical metaphors. For those of you who know what I'm talking about, you'll see some of them. I want to show you a clip in a moment. Let me give you the context. Doctor Who is on a ship called the Titanic. You know it's not going to end reasonably well with a name like that, don't you? It's a set couple of thousand years in the future. But Titanic is now a spaceship and it is orbiting the Earth, and there's been some issues for some reason, and it's about to crash into the Earth and knock out all of life as we know it. That's the context. Have a look at this video clip and see if you can see some of the biblical metaphors that run through this. Thanks.
What's the state of the engines? Have you been injured?
No, I'm all right. Oh my God, it's softening down.
That's an interesting storm drive, yes?
Yeah.
I'm going to go over there a little bit.
What?
Oh yes. Before you hit the planet, we're watching a storm explode and we're trying to land on Earth.
The chairman, I need you to fire up the engine containment field and feed it back into the core.
This is never going to work.
Trust me, it'll keep the engines going until I can get to the bridge.
We're going to die.
Are you serious?
We are, we're going to die.
First things first. One, we're going to climb through this ship. B. Two, we're going to reach the bridge. Three, we'll see, we're going to save the Titanic. And, coming in a very low fall, or D, or that little IV in brackets, the using footnotes. Why? Well, then, follow me.
Hang on a minute. Who put you in charge? And who the hell are you anyway?
I'm the Doctor. I'm a Time Lord. I'm from the planet Gallifrey, the constellation of Castorberus. I'm 903 years old, and I'm the man that's going to save your lives and all 6 billion people on the planet below. Are you a problem, though?
No.
In that case, I'll see.
There you go. See a little Kylie Minogue sort of cameo. Pick up any of the sort of biblical metaphors running through it? Sorry? The follow me. And yeah, who sent you? Or who are you type sort of thing, yeah? You're going to save the world, yep.
I am.
I am? Yeah, I am the Doctor, yeah? Yeah. Yep. Anything else?
The Ancient of Days.
There is a bit of an Ancient of Days there, isn't there? In fact, actually what you see is very much a messianic figure in these later Doctor Who's coming through. We're going to come back to that in a few moments. Let me read something for you. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. They would have to be some of the most well-known verses in the scriptures, wouldn't they? They would have to be some of the most treasured promises in all of the scriptures, that the Lord is our shepherd and that he will be with us even in the valley of the shadow of death. In fact, you get that same sort of idea of God being with us in that passage that was read for us from Matthew chapter 28. You see how it ends there. It ends with these words. Jesus says, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." I was talking to my home group during this week. I'm part of a seniors home group. I lead the groups, just leave it there, Greg. You're going to say something that's not going to be appropriate. So I'm part of that group, and I thought I'd ask them, what do you think of when you hear about God being with you always? Is it important to you? When you hear Psalm 23, what's important to you? And they shared with me some incredible stuff. They were just saying how it's actually unbelievably great to know that God is always there, and that he's an all-encompassing peace and presence. And many of them have gone through some very difficult times, are going through some difficult times. They also said it's important to include God. Yes, he's always there, but it's always important to include him. And then someone said, it's just unbelievably wonderful to have someone who you can just unload with. Those sort of descriptions are picking up the idea of God being a shepherd, aren't they? It's that God's like one who on your bedside sits with you. God is one who walks with you when you are lonely. God is one who, like in that poem, Footprints, carries you when you can walk no more, as it were. Now, all those understandings, all those ideas are actually quite biblical. Throughout the scriptures we read that God is like a shepherd, that he carries lambs in his arms. But here's a thought. Is there a time, maybe even now, where this idea of God or Jesus being with us always, is it just too comfortable? Has it just become too, I don't know, cuddly even? See, consider the context of Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, what is the context of it? Jesus has just risen from the dead. It's about 40 days or so after his resurrection. Jesus, who was crucified on a cross, has now risen from the dead. The Jesus who talks to his disciples in Matthew 28 is the Jesus who has conquered death. He is the one who makes it possible for us to taunt death with those words, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" The one who addresses his disciples in Matthew 28 is the one who was in the tomb, but the tomb couldn't hold him any longer. The one in Matthew 28 who talks to his disciples is the one for whom the fingers of death were wrapped around him, but they couldn't hold him any longer. This is no meek and mild Jesus. This is the risen, conquering King Jesus that we read in Matthew chapter 28. And have a look what he says in verse 18. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore," and then he follows on. Did you notice just in those 12 words or so how all-encompassing it is? How much authority? All authority. No exceptions. No exceptions. Where? In heaven and on earth. There is no place, there is no one square inch of this cosmos that Christ is not king. and has authority. And does he share it with anyone? No. It's been given to me, he says. All authority to Jesus. It's the idea that was read for us from Daniel as well. I wonder what you thought of that passage from Daniel as it was read. If you're not familiar with the passage in Daniel, it's a part of Daniel in which he has visions or dreams, which you can see. And I love the way Daniel says, "I was troubled in spirit." Yeah, I would be too if I had those sorts of visions and dreams. But did you see the different characters there? Let me remind you of one of the characters. In verse 9 it said, "And as I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat, and his clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head was white like wool, and his throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze, and a river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him, and thousands upon thousands attended him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened." It's a description of God. We understand it now with the revelation of Jesus to be the Father himself, the Ancient of Days, God himself, 10,000 serving him, and he sits upon a throne. But did you notice that there were some other characters in that reading too? Did you notice? I'm not talking about the beasts. I'm talking about the one at the end, verse 13, if you're following. Daniel says, "In my vision at night I looked, and there was one like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. And he approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. And he was given authority, glory and sovereign power. All peoples, nations and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed." The Son of Man. Where have you heard that before? All through the Gospels, Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man. I think it's about 80 plus times Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man. And when he refers to himself as the Son of Man, one of the things he has in his mind as he says it is Daniel 7. The Son of Man, all glory, all authority, all sovereign power to the Son of Man. All peoples, nations, languages will worship the Son of Man. And the kingdom of the Son of Man will last forever. That's the one who's speaking in Matthew 28. The Son of Man. Jesus himself, the risen, conquering King. The one who was referred to in Daniel is now revealed to us. And he stands before his disciples and he confirms it and says, "It's me, basically. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Which brings us back to our little excursion into sci-fi pop culture. The Doctor is a bit of a bumbling sort of fool at times, isn't he? He flies around the cosmos in a TARDIS through space and time with his sonic screwdriver. But whenever push comes to shove, there's a different side to the Doctor that comes. There's a side that's one of authority. Did you see it in that clip? You can even hear it. The music changes and the way he does his voice changes. You know, who do you think you are? "I'm the Doctor." And on it goes. Now, be careful. The Doctor is a very complicated character. There's almost a very dark side to the Doctor. And analogies always break down. Because Jesus is no alien flying around the cosmos in a TARDIS police phone booth with a sonic screwdriver. But in the same way, Christ is not one-dimensional. In the same way, Christ has different facets, you might even say. Different sides. He's the gentle shepherd who calls his sheep by name. He He's the one who welcomes outcasts and sits with them and eats with them. He's the one who goes to wedding feasts and enjoys it. He's the one who welcomes children and says, don't stop them. Kingdom of God belongs to them. He's the one who sees people in need and does something about it. He feeds thousands with just some bread and fish. In many ways, I wonder if that's the view of Jesus we so often have, which is in many ways so comfortable and cuddly, isn't it? But there's another side to Jesus, isn't there? He's the one who stands up in the temple and condemns the religious leaders. Woe to you, he says. He's the one who stands up in a boat and commands, nay, even demands, that the storm be stilled. He's the one who, when he meets a man who's possessed by who knows how many demons, says for them to come out of the man and to go into a herd of pigs, which then race down the hill and are drowned in the water. And then in Matthew 28, as the risen conquering Saviour, as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he is the one who stands there and says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. That commands our attention, doesn't it? To go back to the Doctor Who analogy again, there's not two doctors, there's not two sides to the... There's two sides to the doctor. There's not two doctors. In the same way, there's one Jesus in perfect balance, God and man. So what do we do with this Jesus that we see? Well, in the same way that the doctor's trying to portray in that video, Jesus is not to be trifled with, is he? In the book of Revelation, when John sees a vision of Jesus and Jesus speaks, Jesus says, I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead and now look, I am alive forever and ever and I hold the keys of death and Hades. And I can't imagine Jesus saying that with a still small voice. But rather, with a voice that sounds like a waterfall in flood. We cannot forget Christ's authority. I wonder if sometimes we become so comfortable and cuddly with him. Yes, he is our brother. Yes, he is our friend. Yes, he is the shepherd who calls us by name. But at the same time, he is the risen, conquering, all-powerful Son of God. But that's to our advantage. That's to our advantage because you see, the one who promises to be with us to the very end of the age is not weak. He is not mild, as you were. The one who holds all authority in his hand is the same one who holds us in his hand. The one who claims to be with us during the tough times and speak to us during those times is the very same one who speaks creation into being. The one who says, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, is the one who, if it be his will move heaven and earth for us. That is the one who promises to be with us. If I could borrow the doctor analogy again, in the clip, there's that character says, well, who are you? When you say that to Jesus, what will be the answer? I'm the Saviour. I'm the incarnate Son of God. I'm from heaven and sit at the right hand of the Father. I have no age because I was before time and after time and during time. I am the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the one who can save you and every single person, whoever was, is or will be. Have you got a problem with that? And we cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ in our times of need. We cry out to one who can speak words of comfort and one who is all-powerful and who can move heaven and earth. He is the all-powerful risen Saviour who is always with us. Now, we can keep this as head knowledge. We can walk away from this saying, wow, I really enjoyed it today. I got an idea. Greg likes Doctor Who. Or you can start to watch Doctor Who and try and pick out all the other messianic sort of bits and pieces coming through. Or we can stop and think, am I walking through a valley that feels like the shadow of death at the moment? And do I need to realise that the one who walks with me is the almighty, all-powerful, risen one? Or if what Jesus is talking about in Matthew 28, if I'm trying to be a witness to my friends and I'm trying to be a light in the community in which God has planted me, and I'm feeling so overwhelmed and I don't know what to say, might it be good for us to stop and think that the one who is with us at that point is the one who is the Alpha and the Omega? Would it be worthwhile to consider, when I feel so alone and so in need, the all-powerful risen Jesus says he will be with me to the end of the age? I wonder if we need to stop at some sense, in some way, and just let the realisation that the one who promises to be with us is the almighty, all-powerful, risen Jesus. And here's my final question. Do you think that might change the way you pray?